Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.
Happy Monday, everybody, and thank you so much for tuning in to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill. Today, I'm very excited to share with you that we have Roslyn Kahn joining us on the show today. Roslyn, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thank you so much for inviting me. It's a pleasure and honor to be with you, Jennifer.
Yes, well, for our listeners who may not be familiar with your astounding background, I mean, you've done so much. I'm so happy to get to share your wisdom with our listeners today. Roslyn is actually a college professor, a public speaking instructor at Santa Monica College and Los Angeles City College. She is also an author, an international motivational speaker, and speech coach. She has been an educator for the last 18 years, teaching public speaking, English as a second language in colleges and high schools throughout Southern California. Several years ago, she attended her first TEDx conference in Pasadena. She was immediately drawn into the TEDx fever. Roslyn worked on the experiential committee of TEDx and thereafter followed her expertise to coach 10 TEDx speakers from November to present. Roslyn spoke over three times beginning in 2013. Language comes to life. She began her business coaching and professional speaking nearly 3 years ago, and Roslyn has trained over thousands of students and worked with individuals from a wide range of business backgrounds. She has trained individuals from the young age of 8 to senior citizens, and her gift is helping individuals achieve their dream with speaking the message from their heart. Her business market is helping entrepreneurs and business executives to build their speaking skills to fulfill their business dream. And in the last 3 years, Roslyn has spoken at over several hundred different organizations. She has worked with clients in the hospitality, real estate industries, and coached executives in the athletic world at a major Southern California university. This past January, she actually spoke in Rome, Italy, on her book. She was recently interviewed on both Saturday morning CEO radio and television. A year ago, in July 15th, she joined forces with Furley Almonte TV interview from East Coast to conduct Stand Out and Shine workshop, getting on TEDx stage, and how to get their dream job. Since then, she has spoken at Teen, TREPCO, Helping Teens Become Entrepreneurs, and has emceed for the San Diego International Film Festival. She recently helped bring Chinese Yu Opera to Santa Monica College, and in addition, she spoke at the Universal City and North Hollywood Chamber. She published her first book, which we're going to have to talk to you about because I love this concept, How Random Acts of Kindness Are Changing the World, by Solutions Press, released on Amazon. And her second book is in the works called Roto, Roses and Dogs, How to Reduce Stress in Today's Troubled Times. I'm with you 100%. I actually have a dog and I bring him into the office often and it completely changes everything.
That's what they say. You know, you pet a dog for 10 or 15 minutes and your mood completely, entirely changes.
My favorite part in my office when I go into my staffing firm, if we're ever having a stressful day and my dog is there, half the time my employees are rolling around on the floor petting the dog, playing with the dog.
That's what we all need in the world, is just having more dogs around us. I find, you know, just simply seeing a smiling dog puts a smile on my face.
It does. Everybody in the building, anytime I bring him in, people smile. And if he's not there, people are disappointed just to see me. They ask me, Jen, where's the dog? We don't want to see you. We want to see your dog.
That's what it's all about.
Well, tell us, how did you get into this field? How did you become an expert on public speaking, and how did you go down the TEDx path?
Well, it's kind of interesting. You know, back in high school, I had done some speaking, and it was really a lot of fun, but it seemed like in the afterworlds, I joined an organization called Toastmasters.
And I love that organization. It's great.
You cannot say enough good things about Toastmasters. I did, I don't know, 10 plus years in Toastmasters, and then decided there was bigger venues, and I then got involved in American Society in Training and Development. And as the economy took a turn, a friend had invited me to this TED conference, and so I was teaching, I don't know, 7, 8, 9 years or something like that, and he says, oh, you got to come out and see this TED talk. And I went out to Pasadena and got involved, and he said, well, if you really want to be a speaker, you got to get involved in the volunteer committee. And the biggest thing I can say to anybody out there, the key to job success is volunteer. When people go ahead and see you putting in your time, they say it's the quickest way to go ahead and get yourself established. I want to mention a web page. It's called volunteermatch.org.
I love that website. It's wonderful.
Yeah, it's just got plenty of opportunities, and there's almost everything for anybody on that page to help themselves get started. So anyhow, volunteering. I volunteered, and when I volunteered, I had an opportunity to go out and learn what it was like to get speakers on the stage, and I said I was just there to learn, even though at that time I had 15 years of public speaking. And I said, I'm just here to learn, and you know, this lady connected me with the lady in the hall and in the restroom, and the rest is history. I'm actually working with a guy right now who's got this thing that's called the red line. And he said the red line is like the pulse of the vein of someone's heart to bring awareness to what's happening with global warming, and he loves nature, and it's just amazing seeing that's going to be at the TEDx Vail coming up It's January. So.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah, so one never ends from one moment to the next.
That's great. And so you'd naturally been speaking for many years, and then volunteering got you in on the TEDx stage.
Right, yeah. I've been speaking many years, you know, teaching public speaking, and then I got involved with the TEDx world and just happened to coach some more people, then got speaking, and then I've been coaching some more people, and the rest is just like a dream come true.
That's amazing. That's my favorite part about this show, is just getting to share with all of our listeners all of these people and how they got to where they are, living their dreams. And the fact that we all have access to that, it's not just because you're Rosalyn or I'm Jen that we get to do what we love. Any listener out there can get, you have access too, to doing something you love. And that's part of what I wanted to talk to you about today, is some of us have that voice that says, oh, I can't do it, or I'm not smart enough, or I'm not pretty or tall enough, or this or that. So how would you tell our listeners to go into their next business meeting or interview and to have that enhanced confidence and communication?
Well, the first thing is, we all have these negative little gremlins in our head. And if you've ever read the book on the gremlins, it's...
I don't know that one.
Oh, my. It's How to Tame Your Gremlins.
Oh, great book.
It's really a great book of turning off that negative energy and turning on the positive energy. And one of the things that to help out with that is meditation. I noticed that before we began, you had your own little saying that you said.
Yeah.
And there's plenty of meditations that we can do each and every day if you just simply go ahead and follow your breath and count to 10. And that's a really calming thing. The second thing to do is to write your list of gratitudes.
I love that.
You know, write your list of gratitudes. I can pull out my phone and tell you my list of gratitudes for the day.
Me too. I do that every morning. How many do you list?
As many as comes to mind. It's just
really?
It's just, you know, some days there's 1,000 and some days there's 5 or 6, but there's always a list. There's always a list. And the next thing is to visualize. You know, it's kind of like I sat in bed this morning and I saw myself here sitting here talking to you and all the people out there listening. And if you can visualize your success of what's going to happen, that's the key to everything. I remember there was an interview I had with one of the colleges I'd been to many times, and this was my third time up, and in baseball they call it 3 times and you're out. Well, this time I said, no, it's not going to be that way. And so I visualized myself going there and being there, having the interview, and here's what happened. I got to the interview, it's about 40 minutes out or so on and so forth, and I could see the nonverbal, and you always want to look at the responses of the people when you're interviewing and watch what their feedback is. Are they smiling? Are they happy? And so on and so forth, and I could see them grinning, and I could see them moving along, and we get to this point in the interview conversation, and I asked them when they might be making a decision on this, because I was taking a cruise, and the response to me is, could we give you a call on the cruise to let you know what our decision is?
That sounds positive.
And I knew right then and there that I'd gotten the job. I'd gotten the job. And I've got my eyes set on this next incredible possibility of working in the Orient that's coming up. I'll be having a call on Wednesday. And that's another amazing story. And you never know. I mean, I took this class by Joel Bauer, and he said, you know, there's a certain class and clothing that you need to go ahead and wear and have that style of success. So, you know, I've got my bright red and the colors and this, that, and the other. And I was out in the hall of this program called the Thrive Academy, and they teach people how to make deals and make business happen. And I was just on the elevator.
Oh, is that Jesse and Charla's?
Yes.
I love them. I need to get them on this show. They are amazing. I've been referring people to them for years.
Oh, they are absolutely incredible. They are truly amazing people. So I was on the elevator, and I was just being my typical go-lucky, happy self. And I get off, and this lady says to me, you have an amazing leadership qualities. You're an amazing coach. And I was just having a conversation, and we exchanged cards, and she's from this company overseas, and I got to my room and I sent her an email and I said, you know, it was wonderful meeting you. I hope your mom liked your food and so on and so forth. And by the next day, I saw her downstairs and she said, I'd like to have a meeting and talk with you. And who knows, the rest is out there in the waitings and the calls. So I'll let you know what goes ahead and happens with that. But it's all about forecasting, putting out there what you really want and focusing on it and putting the energies to do the right things you need to do. And we all can turn on the energy or we can go ahead and turn it off. It's just your choice of what you choose to do.
And what you choose to focus on, too. It was so funny. Last night, I was getting a massage, and I could tell my massage therapist was doing energy work. And so we started having this whole conversation around it and about the work I do. And it turns out he knows another friend of mine, Preston Smiles. Do you know Preston?
Name sounds familiar.
Yeah, he's also a very great guru and trainer and all very positive and optimistic. And we were talking about it, and he said, well, you tell people about this declaration and the statement of intent, but what happens about the action? And what I tell people is it's always your intention times your action that equals your success. And now I would throw in to add to what you said is to add the visualization component. It is so imperative. I remember I was offered a speaking engagement earlier this year, and it was for the largest conference in my industry that happens worldwide, basically.
Oh,
and
wow.
For about a year, I'd been visualizing myself walking out onto the stage with just more faces than I could see in a huge room and just not knowing what that would look like or what the platform would be. And then lo and behold, I got offered this opportunity to speak, and it wound up being the largest session they had at the conference. There was wall-to-wall people, standing room only, and they actually webcast it around the world, and it was one of the most popular talks that they had ever had. And it was so cool that for probably a year before that, I just visualized myself stepping onto the stage, and when I did, that's exactly what it looked like. As they said, we'd like to welcome Jennifer Hill to the stage, and thunderous applause, and I walked on. And
oh my gosh.
It's so chilling though, right? It's so incredible when you have those moments of synchronicity where you see what you've been visualizing for months or years, or even in some people's cases, weeks or days, come to fruition very readily.
Yeah, it's amazing. You can try the simplest thing, and let me give your listeners a test here.
Okay.
the next time you go to a local event and they've got one of those wheels that you go ahead and spin and you say what you want, set your intention on what you want it to land on and see how it works. It's really simple and it's really critical, and it works. It works.
Yeah, I teach my own internal people about intentions. And so every morning, in addition to listing what I'm grateful for, I also list every single morning my intentions that I'm going to create with ease and effortlessly for the day. And I do the same thing every Friday for the coming week. What intentions am I creating with ease and effortlessly for that week? And the same thing for the month and the year. And I kid you not, people ask me all the time, how do you do it? How do you juggle being an author, a speaker, a podcast host, running a successful company, and traveling the world? And it's intentional. It's about living an intentional life. And when you intend things to work out, it just happens with ease and effortlessly.
Oh my God, it's so true. I think we're married at the heart here.
I know, we're totally on the same page.
All the stuff that we have that's so uncommon. I read, you know, the other key is just finding yourself reading really good stuff. There's this guy, Robin Sharma, that my coach has me hooked on, and he's got this little black book of success. And it's, you know, the first 20 minutes of every day is the most golden moment that's out there, whether you meditate or you listen to music, and writing those lists of gratitude and sending out those notes of the people that you're truly have made your day, and putting out your goals, and at the end of the day writing the list of what are the lessons that you've learned.
I haven't heard that before.
You know, how can we take those lessons and what are we going to do better tomorrow? I mean, it's phenomenal.
That's wonderful. I love what you're saying. And it's funny because I actually had a neuroscientist who's a friend of mine empirically validate something I'd been saying for years. And for me, when I teach people, and I talk about this in my book, Stop Hoping, Start Hunting, I talk about in the mental side of the job search that you should create a statement of intent very specifically by when you're intending to create, whether it's money, your ideal job, your ideal partnership or friendship or romantic relationship, whatever that might be, and that you declare it out loud as part of a daily declaration. But immediately when you wake up. And it turns out that my friend who's a neuroscientist said, Jen, do you want to know why that actually works? I said, I have no idea. I made that up. And she said, it's actually because your brain is in an alpha wave state right when you wake up and immediately thereafter. And it's more susceptible to suggestion and you're more likely to act on the things that you declare at that time of day.
Wow. No, that's amazing. That goes back to why that first minutes of the day is so critically important. And the whole idea of saying and saying it to the world, don't keep it inside of you, but say it out loud. It's beautiful.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And I agree with what you said. It's so important for our listeners to understand that whether you're going into an interview or an important business meeting, if you take the time to center yourself, any of my guests who have ever been on the show, and or even you might have heard it, I have alarms. I have about 10 alarms that go off before I do the show every week. And it's allow a conscious, loving breath. Put a period at the end of my sentence, you know, different reminders and things and intentions I set. And it's just setting those reminders. So before you have a meeting, set a little reminder to yourself and say, allow a breath, set an intention, be clear on what it is you want to achieve out of this meeting, as opposed to just going into the meeting and reacting to the circumstances or questions that are put to you.
Wow, I can see this is going to be just so valuable for the listeners that are out there listening. I'm just learning so much just sitting here talking to you.
I'm learning so much from you, too, and I'm so happy you brought up the Thrive Academy. They used to call it something else years ago when I did it, and I still keep in touch with many of the people who I did that program with, and that's a thing for our listeners out there that I think is important, and you've already referenced your coach, Rosalyn. We all, those of us who have quote-unquote success, whatever that looks like, we have coaches. We read books. We do different things. It's not success is something like, oops, I just fell into it. Yes, you might have momentary success, but to have long-term sustainable success, you need mentors, teachers, books, guides, coaches. That way, when you are down in the dumps or having a hard day, somebody can help you talk the gremlins off the ledge, you know?
Right, exactly. That's what it is. No successful people out there do it on their own. You know, Hillary Clinton wrote the book, It Takes a Village to Raise Humanity, but there's a lot that in our own world, you know, simple people that you see along the way. How many people can you make smile each and every day?
I love that. That's so true. And again, I do want to talk. Actually, let's talk about that for a moment. Let's talk about your book, about, you know, the kindness, the little acts of kindness. Tell me again, the name of your book is, I'm looking at it right now, Random Acts of Kindness Are Changing the World.
Yes, that is the title of the book. And it started in an interesting way. A friend of mine that I met in the training world had recommended this book by Tony Hsieh. It's Passion, Profits, and Purpose. Have you ever heard of that book?
No, I haven't. I'll have to write that down.
And he's the guy who started the Zappos Shoe Company.
Ah.
And so when I was reading his book, he talked about sending his employees out in the community and just doing these random acts of kindness. And he invites anybody who reads the book to come see them in Las Vegas and visit them. You get to sit on their crown and, you know, just see this amazing, amazing thing. It's sounds like idealistic, but it really, really works. And so I decided to come back and have my students do random acts of kindness. They work 30 to 35, 45 hours a week. You know, they've got their own problems of all the things you do. They've got that and so much more. And I said, what if I could take with this random acts of kindness? And what kind of changes could we bring? And it was, you know, the goal of helping them live a happier, peaceful life. And when they started sharing their stories, it was like magic went ahead and unfolded. You could like drop a droplet of water and there was peace, quiet. And when I shared the stories, the most amazing things happened. And so I then decided to put this book together and start sharing the stories with the people in the world. And they just reverberated and they said, it's amazing. When you go out and you do random acts of kindness, the world goes ahead and you know, comes back to you. I was just at a domestic awareness workshop yesterday in the Valley, and one of the things that my friend Filippa Scalar had said in her book about domestic violence was about the random acts. No matter how bad your world is, there's always things that you can be grateful for. And it doesn't cost anything to do a random act of kindness, whether it's smiling or opening a door or, you know, just helping out a stranger or a neighbor. There's so many amazing things that we could do. I think someone recently said to go in your closet, and if there's something you haven't worn, go ahead and give it away.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And it's so funny because for me, what was interesting is I have no problem talking about my successes and things that are great, but the one thing I actually don't normally talk about is the charitable work I do, the philanthropic things. And so it was funny. My husband's like, honey, you'll tell people you went on a trip to Italy, but you won't tell them that, you know, you donated this or that to the homeless people. And one of the things that I like to do is if I'm at home and my husband's not there and he's out working or doing something and I make a meal, there's often leftover food that I'm not going to eat. And so I create plates for the local homeless people and I bring it out. And it's just little stuff like that we have this opportunity to share with one another where somebody else might not think of that. Or even for the holidays this year, my girlfriends and I were all doing a girls' weekend recently, and they were sharing about this wonderful program where instead of buying one another gifts, you get to a certain point in your life where I consider myself fortunate. There's nothing I need. There's nothing. Right. My needs are met. I have food. I have a roof. I have clothes. And so I had this great idea based on what my friends shared. What if we instead adopted a family? And instead of buying my husband useless t-shirts that are just never going to get worn, right, what if we could actually put that money into a family? And there's organizations that can help you do that.
No, there are. There are so many organizations that are out there. My husband used to work with the Postal Service, and they would all adopt, you know, different families, and they would buy different gifts for different people. There's toys for tots that the people from the
firefighter. My dad, actually, when I was a little girl, he used to take us on the fire truck, and then we get to give the gifts to the children, which was just incredible.
No, it's just absolutely amazing. There's a gentleman I met with the PUPS, the Granada Hills Chamber of Commerce, that had a pizza, all-you-can-eat pasta night that was several weeks ago, and I helped them to raffle off a painting that they gave to the church, and it was just beautiful of learning what these people do. Yesterday I did an AIDS walk that me and my husband have been doing for many, many years, and they always say when you feel down and out, just go out and help someone else out.
So true.
It is such a key to going ahead and getting yourself out of your gremlin and your down and out state. It's just help someone else out. It's amazing.
Yeah, I see it oftentimes for job seekers and specifically veterans. There's a group of amazing women who I support called Makeovers That Matter, and it supports our women veterans in getting back to work. And I was just talking to a group of them yesterday, and we were talking about PTSD and how that affects so many of our veterans and depression. In fact, there was a statistic that just made me cry. It's like something like 22 veterans commit suicide a day, some atrocity like that. And so it's important for people to understand that, yes, you may not have anything to give but a smile or a kind word or something. But the minute you do that, you get yourself out of that state of depression. And I think that's important for our listeners to understand, is that these little acts of kindness add up. And the more love you put out there, the more love you get back.
Right. And sometimes it's as simple as getting out of your house and walking the neighborhood and just saying hi to the people you see along the way.
Yeah, being friendly and just going out of your way. Like you said, I love that you put together a whole book on that. And for any of our listeners who want to buy it, again, you can find it on Amazon. It's Rosalind Khan, Random Acts of Kindness Are Changing the World. And I invite any of our listeners out there as well, don't be afraid to share the kind acts that you do. There was a class I was doing about 6 or 8 weeks ago, and we were invited to brag, quote unquote, which often has a negative connotation, about some sort of charitable act that we did. And it was so great. A guy in my group had said, well, you know, I happened to be gifted this extra car from, you know, my uncle who had passed on. And so I decided to give it away to somebody. And it was so great. This guy, you could tell, had never shared anything like that. But he may have inspired somebody else in the group just by the act of sharing.
No, it's amazing when we go ahead and share these things that we've gone ahead and done. It truly opens up the world to inspire someone else. At this workshop that I was at yesterday, the head of the chamber had said, if I save one person's life with what we're going ahead and doing here, then this is truly what it's all about. It's really sharing what you've done, because you never know the words you say whose life you can go ahead and impact.
And it's so funny because it actually ties directly into business meetings and to interviews. I will tell you right now that when I teach people how to go into an interview, or if I'm talking about a business meeting, relating to people. It all comes down to relating. And if you say a kind word to the person you're meeting with, or even offer a smile, or these little subtle things that you wouldn't even think twice about, you know, that sets the tone of that meeting or that interview. Are there any particular things that you would suggest to our listeners out there as far as body language things or things they could do to make sure that they're on point in the interview or meeting?
Well, one of the things I remember from kind of the nonverbal communication is kind of the form of modeling and mirroring how the other person is looking at you. If they've got their hand on their chin, to go ahead and have their hand on their chin. If they've got their hands closed in front of them or clasped, to go ahead and mirror them. But the other important thing is to truly listen to what they're saying. So many times we're so caught up in what we're gonna go ahead and say that we miss the questions. And it's really being entirely, fully present to what is going on and happening. You know, my coach taught me this one important message, and he said, needy is greedy. And so if you go in thinking how desperately you really need this job, and if you don't get this job, what's going to go ahead and happen? It goes ahead and turns people off. And yet if you go into an interview and says, whatever's going to happen, I place this in whoever's hand it is, and may the right thing go ahead and outcome from this, it's amazing what goes ahead and comes out, because you don't need that thing, but things actually come to you.
That's so astute of an observation, and that's great that your coach brought that up, because I see that on the job hunting side all the time. Just 2 weeks ago, I had a guy in my office, and he was like almost shaking. He needed a job so bad to, like, you're in survival mode, I guess, is what it comes down to. And if you can actually let go of any attachments, there's a great distinction that I talk to my team about all the time, about being committed but not attached to an outcome. You can be totally committed that you have, going back to the intention thing, an incredible interview, that they fall in love with you and that they're inspired by what you have to say, and be unattached to them wanting you for the job and be like, oh, it's okay. If I'm not the one, then I'm not the one. And that actually is the sexiest thing in an interview. And it's so true of personal relationships too. When you meet the people who are demanding of you and want something and need you to pay attention to them, it makes us all turn away, whether it's on social media, in person, in an interview. And if you can just let go of that and say, hey, you're awesome, and if this works out, great, and if not, no problem, let's stay in touch.
No, that is really so critically important. I hear that over and over again. It's, you gotta just let it be. And that's the greatest gift that you can have, because the more that you're attached to it, the greater the disappointment is, and the more that you let that ego in, and it just
blows it out of proportion.
Definitely.
There's a great quote, I think it's from Al-Anon or AA, about expectations are pre-made resentments. And I notice for myself is I do a lot of spiritual work, and I do a lot of work to develop myself. And then there are still days where I'm a capital B-I-T-C-H, and I have my moments where I become reactive. And I look at it, and every time one of those moments comes up and I can reflect back on it, I notice that I was attached to an outcome, or that I had an expectation that automatically therefore became a resentment. So if we can let go of those expectations and attachments, that's freedom and power.
No, and that's so important in the job search, because it's really, really competitive out there, and everybody needs that job just as much as everyone else. But if you were to go in with that mindset that whatever is meant to be is going to be, and have those possibilities out there, it's amazing what the world goes ahead and opens up for you.
So true. And on top of that, there are so many things that I want our listeners to understand. It's not just either this or that. It's and both. It's action and intention and visualization and. It's like that yes and game. Okay, what else can I add on to this? Mm-hmm. And part of it, I think you and I were talking about this before the show got started, is being able to understand your audience and how to stay on target and the point. And so depending on who you're speaking with, that can be a totally different conversation.
Right. It's really important to kind of, as they say, know who your audience and know what they're really all about. And there's so much on social media that you can gain, or LinkedIn or Facebook, to learn what this person is all about and who they are, so that if they're a person who's really into sports, that you're going to make sure that you mention sports. If you go ahead and see that they're a family person, you ask about, their family. You ask, I see that you've got three lovely kids, What kind of sports are they involved in today? So you got them involved in music or this, that, and the other. And it's just kind of forming that connection that they see you as a person, kind of beyond, just an applicant going ahead and going that job. And it's kind of knowing who that person is and what they're really all about. And you can tell by going ahead and looking at their desk. Is it someone who's got everything all nice, neat, and organized? Are they in stacks, a pile, and so on and so forth? Is going to determine the way that you're going to speak. Is it a formal or an informal? Kind of based on those things that you see and hear.
That's great. It's very important that people pay attention to the visual cues. Just yesterday when I was doing the talk for the women veterans, there was a woman who had said, well, after this particular job, I took about 5 years off to be with my children, and I'm afraid to mention that. And I said, it all depends on your audience. You have to pay attention to the cues of verbally as well as your visual cues in the office. And if you see somebody who has pictures up at their desk of kids or drawings around, or whether it's a male or female, that's a great icebreaker. And to tie that in, I took some time off to take care of my kids. And a lot of times people will be totally empathetic about it. And also, if you're in a position where somebody's not, it might not be the place you want to work, because if you still have your children as a priority, there are some companies that culturally that's a value for them, is to make sure that they have a work-life balance. And there are other companies where that's just not the case. And it's up to you to figure that out in the interview.
Right. That is so absolutely critical. I was just talking to a gentleman at the Minuteman Press out in Woodland Hills, and he shared this interesting thing with me. I don't know if you've ever heard about this, but there are kids who are performing in athletics that aren't playing to win.
Huh?
That's, yeah,
exactly.
Yeah,
hold on, what?
Yeah, he said there's a group of parents that are working with their kids just to learn what teamwork is, what it is to work with one another, and they're not 7 years old. These kids are 12 years old. He said, when you go out and you look at what happens in the amateur league of soccer or baseball or gymnastics or everybody thinks that they're just out there training for the Olympics, and there's the coach who's going to get your kid into the big name football or basketball. But whatever happened to childhood? Whatever happened to going ahead and being a kid or being a normal parent? He said, if you ever think about what we're teaching our kids, go ahead and have a tape recorder underneath the stands as the parents are screaming and ranting and raving at their kids, and you'd be shocked.
Oh my gosh, that's scary if you think about that.
About the information. And, you know, if we go ahead and we take away from that, we make an analogy, if that's what the parents are doing on the field, why is it that we have the violence? Why is it that we have the bullying? Why do we have the abuse? Why do we see, you know, crimes just going out of proportion on the world that we see? You know, it's
reflection. It's so funny. My massage therapist last night, we were talking about politics, and I'm not very political one way or another. And he said, oh, have you been following the election? And I said, oh, yes. You know, of course, everybody has. And whether there's just so much hate out there, it's like the country is really divided. Some people really strongly abhor Hillary, and other people think Trump is a horrible human being. But what's interesting is hate begets more hate. And so if you're experiencing that level of hate in that home or anger, it just perpetuates more anger and hate. And until you can learn to be kind and love yourself and love others and even love the people who you might completely disagree with politically or in the workplace, that's where freedom comes.
No, exactly so. Exactly so. There was something that I read, and I'm going to take this on a turn. We never know when our last day is or when our last moment is. And what if today were the last day of your life and you didn't get the chance to say to that person how much you really love them and appreciate them? And in every person, there's some valuable asset that you can admire and respond to. What if we went and made every day an effort to really appreciate those that lived around, that were around us, because we never know when that day is coming?
Yeah, and I think that's so great, is just to be kind to one another, not because it's Christmas or a birthday or something, but to be kind to one another because we can, and because it's a better option than being a complete jerk to somebody else. It was somebody, I can't remember who, recently said to me something brilliant. You know, it's one thing we email one another a lot, and so often I think we've fallen away from communication, but this person said, you know, I pick 5 random people in my phone list every day, and I email, or I text them, is what the person said, why they're special to me and how they contribute to my life. And so on any given day, it might be 5 different, totally different people who they've talked to a long time ago or recently. And I thought, what a great practice, just to put that out there and to tell 5 people a day why they're special to you and how they're important to you.
That is a huge, huge gift. That was the thing I was saying about, you know, going ahead and sending those 5 emails a day.
Maybe it was you who told me that.
Yeah.
I know somebody and I were talking about it. It might have been you who had said that.
Right. It's amazing what you can do when you just appreciate what's right in the world instead of what's wrong in the world.
Yeah.
I mean, newspapers, televisions are all sold on the negativity that goes on out there, but who really goes ahead and celebrates what's good in the world and what's happened on the right track?
Yeah, it's about perspective. What we focus on expands, and looking for the good. If you see a thing as good, it becomes good. If you see a thing as bad, it becomes bad. So what's the harm in looking for the good in everything?
No, exactly. And that's, you know, it's so important in the job world that you go ahead and you look at what's the good things about the company and the organization. So as we were going ahead and we were talking, I think one of the things is to research out what's going on with the company. Are they growing? Are they expanding? Have they recently acquired a new product or a new thing that you can add by being part of that organization, what is it you bring to it? What special experience is it that you have that you can go ahead and take them? And so when you're going ahead and talking about that in the job search situation, it only goes ahead and bolsters you up at the place that you need to go ahead and be by showing that you've gone ahead and done your homework. And so those are some of the things I think that could help people back on the in the workplace and the job search.
Yeah, and to tie it back to what Liz Moeller was saying last week too, I loved what she said about values, is understanding a company's values. And you can almost tell energetically the moment you walk into an office. Every office is like a living, breathing animal, and it has this physicality and this culture to it. And you have to figure out, is that right for you? And then the other important thing is, say it is your ideal culture, you have to mirror that energy. And I think you and I talked about this a little bit as well, is that when you go in, you have to bring it. You have to bring that energy and enthusiasm. And some people, I think Petra was on the show back in September and we were talking about this. She said sometimes she'll find a diamond in the rough and have to pull it out of them.
Right.
But some managers aren't that patient. So you want to make sure that from go, you walk in and that they're like, oh my gosh, Rosalind or Petra or Jen is the one I want to hire.
Right, exactly. Exactly. It's UV, you know, there's a saying that I learned in college. The guy's name was Don Conquergood. And it was like, we're all people in a restaurant, that as the door goes ahead and swings, you're on your entirely best behavior that you can be. We never know who's watching us. We never know who's watching us. And you go back behind, the door swings, and then you're your average, ordinary self. But we are all actors on stage, and there's always a camera, there's always a phone watching you at each and every moment. You got to be careful.
And it's funny, too, because for me, speaking of actors and cameras, I haven't done any sort of TV stuff in years. I was lucky years ago, my husband and I, we wound up accidentally like on a wedding TV show, and it's been years since I've done that sort of thing. And ironically, recently, one of my old employees was a casting guy. He's like, oh, Jen, we have to have you on the show. And I've gotten cast on shows before, so I knew what they were looking for. They wanted me to walk in. They wanted me to be loud and boisterous and bold and to catch everybody's attention. And so you get cast. But you have to know what it is people want. And part of me, there were 20 other people in the room, wanted to take each individual aside because they probably would have, you know, needed, quote unquote, to be on the show. And I was totally unattached, taking it back full circle to being on the show. And just to tell these people, this is what they want. You have to know whether you're going in for a casting thing, an audition, an interview. It's all the same. You put on the face that company wants to hire, and it's expanding who you are authentically. The thing is, if you go in there and you completely BS somebody in an interview or in any situation, it's going to come back to bite you in the butt, because the minute you show up day one, you're not going to be what they want. And at the same time, there is a way to enhance those characteristics that you naturally have through organizations like Toastmasters or coaches who can say, oh, what are your best traits? How do we highlight these in an interview?
Right, exactly, exactly. And it's getting that outside information so that you know when you're up there that you're your true authentic self.
Yeah, and it's highlighting and enhancing that. There was an exercise years ago that I would encourage any of our listeners to do before any interview or important business meeting that you might be going into, and it was called the 10 times more excited exercise. And it sounds like such a silly thing, but the practice was you had to go in front of a mirror and jump up and down and be 10 times more excited than you've ever been before. And then when you stepped into whatever that meeting, interview, audition, whatever it was might be, you brought at least a half, if not more, or three-fourths of that energy in, and it's contagious. It lights up a room. And even if that's not who you naturally are, we all have it within ourselves and the ability to reveal that.
Right. I'd heard that from Candace Barr in a workshop that she had gone ahead and done, where you jump up and down before you go to, or you're in your car and you're just screaming and yelling and ranting and raving in your car. I'm going to meet the most important person in my life. I know this is going to happen. And you're just screaming and yelling, and it doesn't matter who's going in, but you're there and you're doing it. And can literally change. It's the smallest little things that we do that can really make the tremendous changes. I appreciate you going ahead and saying that. That's excellent, excellent advice.
Yeah, so any other thoughts for our listeners on any other tips or tricks on how they can be as confident, composed, and successful and impactful?
Well, I think the key is having the clarity of what it is that you're going in there saying. What are the specific traits that you have that can go ahead and specifically help them? And being pigeon-toed and exactly saying that without too many details. Too many of us go into stories, and stories go ahead and take a long, long time. So how is it that you can concisely go ahead and say those stories in a very short, concise way, at looking and listening to your voice? is your voice going ahead and sharing passion and interest and so on and so forth? Are you going ahead and sounding like you're
monotone,
really boring and you're tired and so on and so forth? And then there's always the ums, the ands, and the ers. And so rather than going ahead and saying those words, pause. And when you do that, it's amazing how much more powerful that you can go ahead and be with just simply going ahead and having those pauses that you go ahead and put in there. Making sure that you listen to what they say, making sure that you summarize, that you go ahead and wrap up, and that you keep on target of where the interview is going and what your role is and what it is that you're supposed to be bringing to them. And always going ahead and having some questions. You know, what is it that you're looking for in the next 5 years for this person? Where is the growth opportunities? What happened to the last person who went ahead and left? You know, why did that person leave? If you were to tell me the one biggest, greatest strength of this company that I hadn't already known, what would be the reason that you began working with this? If there's some dark, dirty secret that most people wouldn't know, what would you want me to know coming into this position that would help me determine if this is really the right place for me? Because it's a win-win for both of us. And so those are some of the thoughts and ideas of questions I think that might help. I mean, as a faculty in the college and so on and so forth, it seems like our eyes are always going ahead and looking at that next position, that next job. Where am I going to be next? How am I going to sell myself to the next person? You've always got to know. And everybody's a possibility.
Yeah, those are great tips. And for any of our listeners out there, I really encourage any of you, whether or not you're looking to change jobs or not, I think Toastmasters, I did it years ago, is extremely beneficial. It helps you to be more intentional in your communication. Again, we had a Landmark Forum leader as well on the show a couple weeks ago. I also highly recommend Landmark Education, the Landmark Worldwide, I think, is their website. And it's not specifically a class on speaking, but it just helps you remove whatever is not you and get to the more authentic you. Part of speaking is being authentic, and part of it is the actual delivery of the communication, like Rosalind just mentioned. And that's where we see most people trip up in job interviews, is they have that monotonous voice where it's, yes, no, yes, I did do that. And you almost inadvertently start to fall asleep, or you get the flip side. We just had this happen with an applicant, unfortunately, recently, who spoke so quickly. And I know, pot kettle, I'm somebody who talks pretty quickly myself, but she spoke so quickly and talked for such a long time without pause that it made everybody in the interview uncomfortable. And so it left her in unfortunately a bad position, because on paper she was the ideal person for the job, but if you talk nonstop for 10-20 minutes without pausing or allowing the ability to interact with the other person, that can really be a negative in an interview.
No, that's why you got to be short, concise, and to the point, and you have to read your audience reaction of how they're responding to what it is you're saying.
Yep.
To let you know, go on or pull back, or what it is specifically you need to go ahead and do, which is an excellent, excellent point. I can't say enough good things about Toastmasters. There's actually even a club I'm looking to go tonight that's got a bilingual Toastmasters group out in Glendale. And so Toastmasters is a wonderful organization to go ahead and help people with their presentation skills on a group basis, and that's so much you can learn in leadership and things like that.
Yeah, I completely agree with you on that. And you just touched on one more thing that I want to leave our listeners with today, is that pay attention to your surroundings. You just said, you know, listen and watch the cues from your audience and the people you're speaking with. And this particular individual who is talking quickly and talked for 20 minutes, had she looked around the room, she would have seen the main attorney was wringing his hands the whole time and was, you know, it's almost like a tick if somebody's bouncing their leg, if they're doing something with their hands. Those are indicators and signs that you've lost that person's attention. And so you may want to pause and bring it back to the other person and then re-engage in a dialogue rather than a monologue.
Right, exactly. That is exactly so true. It's all about dialogue, less versus monologue of just going ahead and talking by yourself and talking off the top of your head.
It's the same thing as social media. I tell people this all the time. Nobody likes it when you talk at somebody. People want to be engaged with and create a dialogue. And so that's the thing you always want to pay attention to. Am I in dialogue or monologue?
Right. Yeah, it's just such a wealth of information. I feel like I'm in a classroom learning, just sitting here on your talk show talking with you, baby. You got so much information.
I'm so happy to have you on the show, Rosalyn. You have just been a delight to have here. You've been so informative for our listeners, and I know you've had some really great tips and tricks. If anybody would like to work with you as a coach, where would they find you?
Well, they can go to my webpage. It's rosalynkahn.com. That's R-O-S-A-L-Y-N. Last name is K-A-H-N. If you go on my webpage, you can click and get a free download to the first chapter of my book. And if you go ahead and mention this show here, I'd be more than happy to go ahead and give you a 15-minute session of just working with me so I can help you figure out where you're going on that job search, or if there's something in your life that's stressing you out. I'd be more than happy to go ahead and be of service to you. My name is Rosalyn Kahn, and my business is called Coaching and Professional Speaking, How to Master the Message with Passion and Purpose.
Love that.
I'm your guide to helping you reach your highest potential.
Awesome, Rosalyn. Thank you so much. And tune in next week, everyone. We're doing our mock interview Monday. We do that the last Monday of every month with Allison Garrido, who will be our guest coach, offering complimentary mock interview coaching to a job seeker out there. And additionally, don't forget, you can find us on iTunes. If you ever miss the show live on LA Talk Radio, you can, of course, download it on the LA Talk Radio archive of the show, or you can find us at Get Yourself the Job on iTunes. For any of you listening out there who might not realize this, I do have a blog of the same name, getyourselfthejob.com, and I do have over 200 complimentary articles on there about getting hired and finding your dream job. So thank you, as always, for tuning in from wherever you're at, and have a magical and miraculous week.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.